fall means football. And the Tigers roar loudest here.
Klubnik takes a shotgun snap, back to throw. Going to throw it leak. Down long, there's Wesco! Catches it at the 40, off the races, he goes! Touchdown! Wesco from 76!
This is Cade Klubnik, and you are listening to 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hyde continues here on 105.5, 97.5, The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number. Jed gets in and says, FYI, Lady Tigers Damaria Hines and Mia Moore going on the ACC Network at 10:15 on ACC Tip-Off Media Day in Charlotte, and Sean Poppy is on at 10:45. Indeed, I was talking to them yesterday, trying to help get them prepped for their trip up to the great state of North Carolina. They hit the jet very early this morning. Envious of that, admittedly. That's got to be a crazy experience to hit the private jet all the way up there to ACC Tip-Off. But yeah, I mean,
it's a long flight.
It's a super long flight, right? Super long flight. But in all seriousness, super excited for women's basketball this year. We're going to have Coach Poppy on the show probably every week. I've been at practice as much as I can get there with my schedule all summer. Was at practice yesterday. Team's going to be much improved, man. Coach Poppy went in 14 games with that roster last year. Was such an elite coaching job, it's hard to describe. And he's got a lot more talented of a nucleus this year with more great recruits coming on the way. So you guys know I'm a hoops guy at heart. Like, those are my teams, man, with men's basketball and women's basketball. And I've been in the building pretty frequently the last 5 years. So really excited for men's basketball season, really excited for women's basketball season, and we will have extensive coverage, as always, of Clemson hoops for you guys and more as we bridge into college hoops season. So we'll keep you in the loop on what's going on up in Charlotte. We're going to wrap the NFL talk in this segment. We're going to shift gears to some college football. 654-ROAR if you'd like to check in. But first, Texter gets in and asks what our thoughts are on the Houston Texans. Really good to get the monkey off your back this last weekend, right? Like, you needed to get a win, and you needed to just see the ball go through the hoop and a little bit of a skid for the Houston Texans. Beating the Titans is one thing, right? That's a get-right spot for everybody, unless your name's Kyler Murray. Beating the Ravens on the road 44-10, even without Lamar Jackson, is a little bit different of a thing. And I know that they're down for the count right now, but that's the exact type of momentum lift this Houston Texans group needed. I also do think it's worth acknowledging, John. You went on the road to Los Angeles. Your defense held the Rams to 14 points. You lose 14-9. You play against Tampa Bay, you lead the whole game for the most part. You lead the majority of the second half, rather, I should say. And Baker Mayfield rips your soul out with a clutch fourth down conversion and subsequent touchdown at the final seconds of that game. But you only gave up 20 points. Then the following game against the Jacksonville Jaguars, you only give up 17 points to the Jags. Then you give up 0 to the Titans. You give up 10 to the Ravens. This is one of the best defenses in the NFL that resides in Houston, Texas. I do tend to agree that this team's a little bit better than their record showcases, but I think that the ceiling is very, very hard capped because of how poor the offensive line play is. Like, I just don't think that this team is going to be able to score with the big dogs come playoff time. And I also think when you look at their schedule, it's going to be a really challenging avenue to dig themselves out of a hole. You're at the Seahawks. You've got the 49ers and the Broncos. You play the Jags. Again, you play the Buffalo Bills. You have to go on the road to Indy. You have to go on the road to Kansas City. You have to go on the road to the Chargers. Like, this is a really, really daunting schedule ahead of the Houston Texans, and they're going to have to play some really quality football if they want to make the playoffs. Where are you at on C.J. Stroud? He enters year three with his worst supporting cast to date, and the offense has struggled thus far.
See, I'm actually going to take a different take. I like the supporting cast.
Really?
They're getting healthy. They haven't been healthy. You haven't had Christian Kirk much at all. He was very good on Sunday for this team. I think Nico Collins is a very solid wide receiver in this league. I think what you're getting from Jaden Huggins, Jalen Knoll, and Xavier Hutchinson is huge. They're not going to be guys who are going to give you 9 receptions a game and 100-something yards, but they all give you a little something different. I agree with you wholeheartedly about the offensive line. It's not very good. I'm not that high on C.J. Stroud, the player. I think we all got way too ahead of our skis his rookie season with him. But I do think that D'Amico Ryans is a darn good football coach. I think this defense is legitimate, and I think with more time with these playmakers, because if you think about it, how many of these guys weren't here last year? Nick Chubb, your number one running back, wasn't a part of this team. Christian Kirk, Higgins, Noel weren't a part of this team. Like, I think that they, if they can gain a little momentum over the next couple of weeks, they can be a force to be reckoned with within that division.
Genuine question here, because I haven't heard anything about this guy, and I'm not even sure he walks the planet Earth with us. What in the world happened to Tank Dell? Like, I know this, the injury was serious, but it feels like this offense hasn't necessarily clicked at that same level since his departure, and him and CJ Stroud being like best friends off the field and always celebrating, it felt like that was part of the vibe that maybe they've been missing. I do tend to agree with you. Maybe I'm discounting the supporting cast a little bit too much, but I think that my view is being impacted by the poor offensive line play to where maybe I'm ignoring the quality of the skill guys a little bit because they haven't been able to get them the ball a lot.
And they're different skill guys. Also, if we... I'm trying to remember the exact date of when the injury occurred.
For Tank Dell?
Yeah. But regardless, they don't have any expectation of him playing in 2025. It was multiple ligament tears in the knee.
Oh, that's awful for
him. So, like, the plan for him is 2026. Just get healthy and get ready for 26. So,
I hate
to your point
him.
About Tank Dell, there is no plan for Tank Dell this year other than get healthy.
I didn't realize he was out the whole year. I know that was... Okay, so it was week 16 last year. I didn't realize that was going to knock him out for the season. That sucks, man. I hate that for Tank Dell.
Yeah, I think it was like ACL, MCL, like everything.
It was one of those?
Yeah, he was like an everything and the knee got torn.
That's awful. I feel bad for the kid. So hopefully he can get back to speed soon. I guess that makes sense investing in those Iowa State kids now to go get it on the outside because they knew they weren't going to have Dell coming in this year. That makes
a lot
more sense
now. That's why they went heavy in the draft with those two guys.
Yeah, that makes sense. I do like Hutchinson. I think he's a good little player too. So yeah, maybe these receivers are underrated. Maybe I'm overlooking that a little bit. I do like Woody Marks out of the backfield as well. I know he didn't have the best game this past weekend specifically, but he was 100-plus all-purpose the week prior, and I think that rookie's got a little bit of pop as well. So Houston, good defense. Skill guys are probably a little bit underrated. Think the quarterback is still a pretty darn good player. Really worried about the offensive line and think that hinders their ceiling. But hey, if they can go play quality football and they can go hold opposing teams to, let's say, under 20 points consistently, which is what they've been able to do thus far this season, they've got a chance to notch some signature wins on their schedule along the way because it's going to be a pretty difficult schedule. So I'm definitely excited for the opportunity for the Texans going forward. And we talk about learning a lot about football teams. Well, going on the road to Seattle, I think that's going to be a big-time test for this football team, right? You've picked up two wins. You've got the momentum. Seattle's going to be in kind of a bounce-back spot in their own respective regard, looking for a win after they got Mayfielded this past weekend. And by the way, did you see the video of Baker talking crap to the fan? Oh my gosh, that guy's just awesome. I've tried so hard to hate Baker Mayfield over the years, and I just can't do it. He's just the man, unfortunately.
Once he was freed from Cleveland, I've been a huge Baker Mayfield fan because he wasn't someone that was easy to pull for in college.
No, he wasn't. He's kind of having the Jameis turnaround.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I need a quarterback room with the two of them in it.
Yeah, I do too. That would actually be electric. Texter gets in and says, just tuning into the show, if y'all haven't discussed it yet, can you talk about the 49ers? Yeah, we'll take a little bit of a moment. We talked about this a little bit on Friday, but we'll wrap back to it. It was a Mac Jones masterclass on Thursday night, but I'm assuming that this text is kind of gearing more towards looking in the future. You want to talk about, man, and I hate to keep wrapping back to this, I think we're going to learn a lot about this team when they have to go on the road to Tampa Bay. Cross-country travel, Tampa Bay's playing good football right now. They're playing confident football. Baker Mayfield's coming off a game where he had like 350 yards and only threw four incompletions. He led yet another game-winning drive after their defense made a big-time play. What are your thoughts on I'll call them the hospital Niners right now, as they're kind of in the same boat as the Minnesota Vikings, which is down to the backup quarterback who's also dealing with an injury. O-line's banged up, skill guys banged up. They've got so many injuries right now.
It's impressive to win close games, 4 points, 5 points, 1 point, 3 points. But I don't know how sustainable it is when they are the walking wounded and so much of their high-priced personnel is not a factor on this team this year. Like, I don't feel good for San Francisco's chances at Tampa Bay this weekend. I think on Sunday Night Football, hosting the Atlanta Falcons is going to be a very pressure-packed spot for both of these teams. We just talked about the Houston Texans. You got to go there. Don't love that they're rounding into form.
It's a tough spot.
You know, and you still have another game against the Rams. You still have the Cardinals. Now, there are some very favorable spots along the schedule. You get the Panthers. You get the Browns. You get the Titans. And you get the Bears. Like, there's some obtainable wins along the way. I think that they're like a 500 football team when it's all said and done this year. I think they're I give this staff a lot of credit for being able to tread water without your top players, but I think Christian McCaffrey has just lost a step.
He has. He doesn't look the same.
I think the health has caught up with him. I believe that the fun little story of Mac Jones and Shanahan being able to draw up some stuff, I think that's going to come to an end very, very soon. So you'll be able to beat some teams, but for the most part, like, I just think they're like a 500 team. I think you're gonna stack some losses here along the way. I think it's a good thing you went 4-1 to start.
I'm probably a little bit higher on the Niners than you. I just think
their window, their margin for error is getting slimmer and slimmer by the week with the amount of injuries they keep accumulating. And yeah. At some point in time, like, you can't just keep raiding the practice squad in it. It keep hitting.
If you're the Niners, I think my goal is to get as healthy as I can get by November. Because once you get to November, you've got three really tough games on the horizon. It wouldn't surprise me if you drop two of those three, being the next three against Tampa Bay, Atlanta, and Houston. You need to get to that Giants game and be as healthy as you can get. And then at that point, you've got a chance to notch some wins. You've got the Giants, Rams, Cardinals, Panthers, Browns, Titans. If you can't take advantage of that stretch with a 4-2 or 5-1 record, you're not going to make the playoffs, because that's your chance to get your wins. Like, I can live with losses if I'm a Niners fan to the Buccaneers. I can live with the loss to potentially the Falcons, maybe even the Texans. I can't live with the loss to the New York Giants. I can't live with the loss to the Arizona Cardinals, the Carolina Panthers, the Cleveland Browns. You have to find a way to get as healthy as you can get by November.
You say you can live with the loss to the Buccaneers, the Falcons, and the Texans all individually, and I agree with that. You can't live with three in a row.
No, you can't. You can't drop three in a row headed into that Giants game on the road, and then you're cross-country traveling, anticipating to get up off the schneid. You can't have that. You need to find a way to get one of those. But I the only reason I would tentatively buy the Niners a little bit right now with the injury situation would be that the back half of the schedule is lighter. You have to get there, and you have to get your guys healthy at some point if you want any real chance at contending. I'll maintain, I think Mac Jones is the best option at quarterback for this team. Whether that actually comes to fruition and they stick with him, that much is up in the air, but Brock Purdy's not capable of doing what Mac Jones said on Thursday Night Football. He's just not. Brock Purdy is a 32-touchdown, 26-interception NFL quarterback in games where he's had to throw 30-plus times. His stats, like, when you do some deep diving into Brock Purdy's stats and you look at games where they've either been forced to play from behind or games that they've lost, there's a direct correlation with how well Brock Purdy plays to whether that, like, you're almost hinging your entire success on whether that guy plays good football or not when he's out there. Mac Jones is, I think he's just a dream for Kyle Shanahan. Like, I think Shanahan and Jones just, it works. Like, he's been able to curate his system and tweak his system to where he can get the ball out quick. He can get the ball out to playmakers in space. I like Mac Jones. We'll see if they continue to rock with him, but it'll be interesting to see. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. Phone lines open. Adams & Co. Roofing text line is open as well if you'd like to check in on the program. And John, anything else to add of this past weekend in the NFL before we shift gears to college football? I know we haven't talked a ton about my Eagles. I don't think that's worth it, to be honest with you. I just don't think it's a very good football team right now. So they got a lot to figure out in Philadelphia, that's for certain.
You play on Thursday, so yeah. Well, we have plenty of time to talk about him then.
Short week rest. Giants. Gosh almighty. That's exactly what we needed right now, coming off a terrible, terrible loss where we got outscored 18-0 rather in the fourth quarter. Turn around and play on Thursday night.
I will say, though, and you probably won't want to hear it, ain't nobody going to feel sorry for the Philadelphia Eagles.
I think that's fair. I don't think anybody should feel sorry. Just got to get an identity, any level of identity. Got to get people to stop fighting in the locker room as well. So that's awesome stuff.
I'm personally ready for this Sunday to throw your roommate into a locker as the Steelers host the Cleveland Browns and they whoop up on that pathetic little franchise they got there in Cleveland.
Please take Dylan Gabriel's lunch money. I'm not rooting for the guy, to be completely honest. I just don't like the guy. I don't know what it is. I don't like the guy. I think that there are going to be zero of these Browns quarterbacks that are currently on the roster next year. I think they're going to completely wipe the whole room after this season. So it'll be interesting to see how.
The problem is, who are you tanking for?
Tanking for,
because all the quarterbacks who thought you were going to be tanking for before the season starts aren't playing all that good.
Tanking for Mendoza.
Mendoza is going to save the Cleveland Browns.
I guess that's where we're at right now in Cleveland. In all seriousness, though, we'll take a quick break here on the program. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in, and we're going to shift gears to college football in the upcoming segment.
Blue and white trucks rolling down the street.
electrical and HVAC.
When friends and family are coming over to your place for the next big game, everything has to be right. So when your comfort and reputation are on the line, don't leave it to chance. Bring in the experts in the bold, white, and blue trucks. Visit acehomeco.com for all your plumbing, HVAC, and electrical needs.
It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and Swamp Fox Distilling in Pendleton is partnered with The Roar, and we're raising money for Tigers for Tatas. Throughout the entire month of October, they're donating 50% of their sales of orange and vanilla all-in rum and all-pink merchandise. They also have raffle baskets that include rum bottles signed by head coach Dabo Sweeney and others. Visit Swamp Fox Distilling, located at 128 Exchange Street, downtown Pendleton on the Square. Open Thursday through Saturday from 2 to 7 p.m.
We all know and love Eggs Up Grill, but did you know they cater? From brunchy buffets to breakfast samplers, wraps, sandwiches, and salads, Eggs Up Grill has the best catering options in town. Are you a business owner or office manager looking to elevate your next meeting or party? How about a coach looking for your next team meal or box lunches? Visit Eggs Up Grill of Clemson, Seneca, or Greenwood. Ordering couldn't be easier for pickup and delivery through Easy Cater. Just visit eggsupgrill.com and click on the catering button. That's eggsupgrill.com.
This is Leighton Cubbage from Lakeside Lodge, Lakeside Lodge Clemson. Across Lake Hartwell from Death Valley, Lakeside Lodge has every amenity you could want, including Traditions on the Lake restaurant, a pool, hot tub, and fire pit. Stay with us for the weekend or buy your own condo to enjoy anytime and earn income using our managed rental program. Visit ownership.lakesidelodgeclemson.com to start your new game day tradition, and go Tigers.
We are here with Eric Snyder of Snyder Tree Care. Eric, do we need to start thinking about pruning our shrubs?
You know, we generally prune in the spring because they're growing like crazy, and through the summer. But the fall's not a bad time to prune. They're going into a dormancy. If you can get in there and prune them, specifically hand prune those shrubs, they'll do so much better, and you can preserve the buds so the flowers come out better. You can find us on the web at SchneiderTree.com.
Leave it to Snyder Tree Care.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and create an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176, or visit CantyCanFixIt.com.
Fall weather offers a great opportunity to get creative in your kitchen and your backyard when preparing meals for family, friends, and neighbors. And nothing makes your creativity more enjoyable than the selection of ingredients you'll find at your neighborhood Ingles Market. From hand-cut steaks to fresh seafood, locally grown fruits and vegetables from right here in the Carolinas. Whether it's breakfast, lunch, dinner, or a weekend cookout, rely on your local Ingles to have what you need. If you're traveling or heading to the mountains, use your Ingles Advantage card to save on fuel purchases before you hit the road. Shop your Ingles Pharmacy to save on prescriptions. If you're having a family get-together or reunion, have the Ingles Deli create a custom platter just for you. The Ingles Floral Department has beautiful arrangements to accent your home and your table. Take it from me. You'll find everything you need at your local Ingles. Low prices. Love the savings.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Your home for the Upstate's best sports talk radio 24 hours a day.
You guys are the best station in town.
You got the best radio station going.
You guys are the best, man.
We are The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Tuesday edition of Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hite continues right here on 105.5, 97.5. The Roar, 654-ROAR is the number. Man, I'm just so excited for basketball season. I can't even lie. I'm watching ACC tip-off right now. Just watched Clemson women's basketball go through their rounds with the media. Now they've got, it looks like, Notre Dame and Hannah Hidalgo. She's ridiculously good as well. But hoops, weather's getting colder. We're in the middle of football season. Hoops right around the corner. Life is good, man. Life is good in the upstate. So definitely excited for hoop season. But, John, college football's got a long way to go as well. And we don't want to rush football out because it's going to be a miserable, what, 5-6 months without it whenever it departs. And I don't want to live that type of life again. I'm very grateful that we have football here. So let's talk some college football. 654-ROAR is the number. We did not get a chance to get anywhere near to a full recap of this past weekend yesterday. For example, we never even talked about a game like Alabama and Vanderbilt. Never really gave that attention or a preview. Never really talked about a game like Cincinnati and Iowa State, which provided some cinema and fireworks. Notre Dame, they seem to be turning the corner. They're starting to play some pretty darn good football out in South Bend. Marcus Freeman's got them rolling. Illinois beat up on Purdue. Where would you like to start with the games that we didn't mention yesterday? We want to go to Tuscaloosa and talk about Pavia taking
it. Sure. Yeah, let's do that.
Ty Simpson played another heck of a football game. 23 for 31, 340 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick. He's been the most surprising player for me personally with what my expectations were for him in the entirety of college football this season. I had no idea Ty Simpson was this good. Seriously, so credit where it's due. I was wrong on that one in the preseason. Bama wins it 30-14. Jam Miller runs in a long touchdown for the cover at the back door with like no time on the clock. Johnny Manziel probably looks like the biggest idiot in America after this game with all of the different videos I've seen come out from the sidelines. Don't really like that demeanor, even though I'm a Johnny football guy. He's got to grow up at some point, and Vanderbilt just did not get the job done in this one. So what was the whole deal with Alexander? Admittedly, I wasn't watching this entire game in real time because I was glued to Florida versus Texas. Alexander got hurt in this one and then just never saw the light of day again, and then they didn't attempt to run at all with any of the backup backs. Am I correct by saying that?
Yeah, that was pretty much how it worked, and they kind of went to more of a Diego Pavia-led passing attack, and that's unfortunately what bit him with 2 red zone interceptions.
Man, that's unfortunate. Yeah, I wish I got to. I was trying to quad.
I'm sorry with the one interception. I apologize. He had the fumble as well. Sorry, I had the turnovers confused.
Oh, no,
there.
You're good. I was trying to watch this as much as I could, but I was so
there was
to
too
the
much going on at the 3:30 slate.
They put all the good games at the same time of the day.
Well, it's also we had Penn State doing something that hadn't been done since 1985 on national television.
That is true. That is true.
So last time a team ranked 7th or better lost to an 0-4 or worse team was when UTEP beat number 7 BYU in 1985.
I was so glued to Florida and Texas until I saw what was happening out in Los Angeles, and then that had my full attention immediately. Like,
right.
I went full screen UCLA for the Nico show because of what was transpiring, which, again, they lost to New Mexico 35-10 at home 2 weeks ago.
No, they had their first lead of the season in this game. Facts, and they went throughout the whole month of September again with games against UNLV and New Mexico, and they never had a lead in either of those games.
It's
the
crazy.
First lead they had this season was against number 7 Penn State.
Formerly
number 7 Penn State. They are now not ranked.
I saw somebody tweet at me yesterday, and I saved it for today, so I hope bro is listening, and if he's not, I'll tell him to listen back to the podcast. But he tweeted at John and I, and he was very kind and respectful. He said he enjoyed the show. He asked if we were Penn State haters because it felt like we were kind of giving them the business a little bit yesterday. When you lose as a 25-point favorite on the road and one of the craziest upsets ever, we're going to give you the business.
Well,
and number two, I don't want to speak for you, but for me, I have high expectations and aspirations for this program. Like, this is a really freaking talented team that should be a lot better than they are, so you're going to get a little bit of scrutiny when you're that good and you don't play like it.
Yes, and also, because Clemson was the first top 10 team to pee down their pants and everyone get their jokes off, I'm going to get my jokes off on other teams who are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Because they had the same level of expectation as Clemson had coming into the season.
They did.
And you can make the case that Penn State has handled it even worse.
I don't hate Penn State by any means.
I don't have any ill will towards Penn State by any means. But when there were so many people of the Penn State camp side of things who would love laughing down on everybody else while they're up there struggling with Florida International, like there's some comeuppance here.
Yeah, and also, like, again, I've actually been a James Franklin defender in the past because I do think there's something to be said about taking care of everybody you're supposed to take care of business against. This is the first time that I can remember in his career they've suffered a big letdown like this.
They had, going into this game, they had beaten 34 strength unranked opponents.
Yeah.
34 straight.
That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. Like
you're making history.
He's a good coach, man. Like, that's not up for debate. The question is he the right guy at this juncture at this point, or has it ran its course?
Well, I think we are seeing coaches having to adjust how they try to reach and communicate with their teams, because the old way of doing things is just not working. And there's also way more factors and variables and things going in. Like, I'm not saying that the travel and all that stuff and the letting the Oregon game beat him twice and all that stuff is true, because I think this was more of a product of the first half. Penn State was just sitting around feeling sorry for themselves all week, and they got punched in the mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, because they came back and responded in the second half.
They did.
They just sat around and felt sorry for themselves all week. And like, to me, that first half was very similar to what I saw with Clemson against Troy. You took the game from last week and you let it impact you all week long and into it. The difference was, because I think Troy's a better team than UCLA, like, Clemson was able to pull it out and find a way to win the game. Like,
Penn State dug themselves too big of a hole in
correct.
The first 30 minutes of the football game.
Situationally
better.
Did not call the game correctly to get out of it.
Right. Like,
the sequence at the end of the first half is some bad coaching as I've seen this season. Like, just milking the clock and running the football when you needed to get down the field and score some points. And then, like, Drew Aller's just not elite when game's on the line there.
Well, here's the thing for me. This is the number one reason why I was just so mind-boggled by what transpired here. Nico Iamalieva, okay? This has been one of the most talked about players in all of college football for the right or wrong reasons the last couple years. He was deemed a dual threat coming out of college, or coming out of high school, rather. We never really saw that at Tennessee. That's clearly been a focal point from this UCLA staff, is to try and get his legs more involved and incorporated. But even against these opponents where he is carrying the ball frequently, 47 yards, 59 yards, 33 yards, 65 yards, 128 yards on the ground and 3 touchdowns. 8 of those rushes were on third down for first downs. Like,
this is the best game he's ever played.
This is the best game of his career at any stage of football. High school, college, etc. Peewee. This is the best.
And I don't think he'll ever have a better game than this one.
I don't know if he
will. I think this was the stars aligned from a motivation standpoint. I think this interim staff pushed all the right buttons. Like, I don't think they do it again.
No.
I still think UCLA, I mean, they may win another game. But, I mean, I go look at the rest of the schedule, like, they're still not better than any of the teams along the way, which is, to put into perspective, how bad Penn State fumbled it here.
Yeah, and, like, I think like, we all
UCLA,
just...
This is not a spark that's going to send UCLA to go win their next 7 after this one, and we're going to look up and this is an 8-4 football team, and we're giving Tim Skipper the job. Like, no, this is still a, what, 2-10?
Yes.
Like, we were on 0-12 watch.
UCLA, the remaining schedule, at Michigan State, Maryland, at Indiana, Nebraska, at Ohio State, Washington, USC. There's a path to 1-11 that's evident.
Right.
There is.
That may be their one win this year, was against a sleepy Penn State team who felt sorry for themselves.
So here's the thing on Penn State, and I get that it probably comes across as critical, but again, when you're a team that we viewed in such a high regard that's coming off a national semifinals appearance that hires a guy like Jim Knowles on the defensive side of the ball. This is kind of my question is like, what has happened? Let's take Aller out of this. Let's take Franklin out of this. Let's take Kotelnicki out of this. Let's just take a giant step back and remove those three guys from the picture. What the hell happened on defense? Like, that's where my hyperfixation is for this for Penn State. If you would have told me before the season, Penn State's going to lose a couple games because Drew Aller's not a great player, and maybe they struggle a little bit in the run game and their O-line's a little bit overrated, I'd be like, okay, yeah, sure. I can see them losing a couple because of that. If you would have told me in the preseason that a Jim Knowles-coached defense coming off of a national championship, like, do you remember the deal that this was when they poached him from Ohio State? Everybody was like, oh my gosh, James Franklin just got the best coordinator in college football. They just got 42 hung on their dome.
I will point this out, and this is not an original thought by me. I know Kwok and I have had some conversations about it. I know this is like kind of something he has carried around over the years. year one for Jim Knowles defenses are not good. Year one for Jim Knowles defenses take time. Like, it's a very different, like, the responsibilities and things that are being asked of these guys, it's different. Like, it's going, it takes a little bit of time. It's very similar to what we've talked about with Brent Venables in the past, where it takes guys some time to get used to what they're being asked. So I think part of it is that.
Yeah.
Part of it is that, that there's a little bit of adjustment to the scheme, adjustment to him as a coach, and adjustment to him, you know, how he does things.
And I'm glad that Quez texted in this, because this was the exact setup of why I was saying this. Texter gets in, and it's Quez from Clemson, says the same people calling out Tom Allen need to come out and call out Jim Knowles. So that's kind of like the overarching theme that I wanted to wrap this back for the Clemson tie. Before we talk Clemson next segment, we go into Sweeney. Undeniably and irrefutably, Tom Allen is an elite coordinator. We have seen that showcase throughout the course of his career. The proof is in the pudding. He has some of the most respect that you can get in all of the coaching world. His defense has struggled at times this season. The same things can be applied to Jim Knowles, you know, out in Happy Valley now, making the trip over from Columbus. Again, national championship-winning defensive coordinator, has coached multiple top five units, has stockpiled talent for years and years and years with recruiting, with development, and more for the Ohio State Buckeyes. Unit has struggled, and struggled against a team that scored a measly 10 points on New Mexico 2 weeks prior. So, I guess I just got a question for John. I got a question for the audience. Is this just part of college football now? Is this a part of the parity? Is this the part of the roster turnover? Is this the fact that everybody's got great players and that it's going to take a little bit more time when you're having roster churning and volatility from a year-to-year basis to get everyone on the same page? Like, we mentioned Brent Venables, and obviously they're having a ton of success on the defensive side of the ball this year in Norman, and a large part of that is due to Brent getting his guys and getting comfortable and getting acclimated to the scheme. But I think there's a lot of similarities with the struggles right now for Tom Allen's defense at Clemson and Jim Knowles' defense at Happy Valley. And I think that a big part of that, John, is the fact that the rosters are churning every year. People are having to adjust on the fly to new schemes, new principles, new development. And, you know, there's more parity and everybody's got better players. Like, do you think it's just the combination of everything?
Yeah. And you're combining the, you know, please, this is not an NIL discussion, and I'm not trying to start one. But when you incorporate all the money given to it, I think what Penn State's doing is very similar to what happened at Clemson. You bring back everybody, and you give everybody a raise. I don't know how much work was put in. Was it the right work? And then you look at the schedule. Penn State didn't play anybody with a pulse the first three games of the season. And then you have the game against Oregon where you empty the tank and you lose. And then you come out here and you feel sorry for yourself across the country. Like, I find more similarities with Penn State and Clemson than I do just about anything else in the country right now.
Yeah, there are a lot of similarities.
It was, everything was known. So there's no reason, you were just projecting development was going to happen. And I don't think it happened to the level at which we thought at either of these two programs.
I think Penn State football has a really high floor going forward.
Sure.
I worry about the ceiling.
Well, I think the ceiling is probably what it has always been. I think we just talked ourselves into thinking it was different. Maybe some of the same issues we're dealing with here. But I also think, like, another similarity. When the game is tight and the game is close, and you have a quarterback who is not confident, I think Garrett Riley and Andy Kotelnicki fall into the same umbrella where they're getting too cute at the wrong times. Now, I think Garrett Riley addressed some of that last week. But you go to, like, the third and fourth and one against Syracuse, where it was a pass and an RPO. That's way too cute. Just run it up the middle. You have Allen and Singleton. Run the ball with those guys. I know the offensive line's not playing elite right now, and they're playing good, but they're not playing elite. Like, I just think there are times where he's getting too cute with it. Also, I don't think that the Penn State overhaul of the wide receiver room was as effective as they thought it was going to be.
I agree with that, and I also do think that, like, I'll say this right now, Cade Klubnik's a heck of a lot better than Drew Allers.
Yes, yes.
But we
thought both of them would take strides in steps this offseason, and I don't think either of them have.
We thought there would be progression where there's been regression, and that's kind
or
of
stagnation.
Yeah, or stagnation.
Because I don't think Aller. I don't think he's gotten worse. I think he's just
he's the same guy. He's flatlined. Like, he's just you are who you are at some point.
Like, at least, I guess, for the entertainment value of Cade Klubnik supporters, there is the roller coaster of the Cade Klubnik performance where you'll have. you know, some games where you don't know, like, what is he doing? And then you'll go out to last week and be like, my gosh, he can't miss.
Drew Aller
is just 10 for 13 for 130 yards. Like, I feel like for, you know, for all eternity.
So we're going to take a quick break here. Let's talk a little more about Penn State, because this is the upcoming schedule for Penn State. You're against Northwestern at home. It's going to be a win. You're at Iowa and at Ohio State back-to-back. That's not an easy turn. Then you're back at the crib against Indiana. Not an easy spot against a really good and physical football team either. At Michigan State versus Nebraska and at Rutgers. We're having a lot of long-term conversations about Clemson because of the preseason expectations and falling short of that. I feel like now is the natural time to start having those about Penn State as to what does failure look like, what does success look like at this juncture, what do you have left to play for, and like what would the line be for changes to be made in the future if you were to dump a couple more games? And would that be a smart decision, right? Because it's the whole grass is not always greener. Franklin's going to get you to 9 or 10 wins every year. He's showcased that. Is that worth giving up on to try and take a flyer on somebody to get you to the mountaintop and win a national championship? Or do you like the stability of having James Franklin being a really high floor guy? Like, there's a lot of different elements to this situation for Penn State football. But I like this program. I think they have a really high floor. I want to see them tap into that ceiling. I want to see Penn State playing some more big-time football games on the big stage, like the college football playoff semis. It was cool to see a team like Penn State on that stage. I'm just not sure they're getting back if Franklin's the guy, to be completely honest. So let's walk a little bit of that out on the other side of a quick break. We'll also talk some Clemson football on the back end, which will lead us right up to Dabo Swinney's weekly press conference right here on The Roar. Stick with us.
The Clemson Tigers are shipping up to Boston this week to take on the Boston College Eagles, and we've got you covered right here on The Roar. Starting at 1:30 p.m. with the Ingles Tiger pregame show, then Faxon and his crew will take over live in studio at 4:30 with the Tiger tailgate show. Don, Tim, and Reggie will have the call of all the action, and Donnell Clark and I will get you to the finish line with the fifth quarter show. We are the voice of your Clemson football game day. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Mourning the loss of a loved one can be painful. If your loved one dies due to the negligence of someone else, you need someone by your side to help get you justice. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, will help you navigate a wrongful death lawsuit. Nick and his staff are here to help you through every step of the legal process. Call today for your free consultation at 864-654-3680 or visit nicklaverylaw.com.
Hey, 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 it's the Queen of Clean here at Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. Give us a call at 864-238-8800. We've got your portable toilet rentals, hand wash stations, luxury restroom toilet trailers, septic tank services, and holding tanks. So whenever you need to speak with the Queen of Clean, call Royal Flush at 864-238-8800.
At Certified Diesel, we value keeping your diesel truck running smoothly and efficiently. Located at 2209 Highway 292 in Inman, South Carolina, we specialize in light-duty diesel truck repairs and maintenance. Whether you drive a Powerstroke, Cummins, or Duramax, our expert technicians have you covered. Avoid the hassle of dealership maintenance and choose us for all your diesel needs. Call and visit us today at 864-345-4568. Or check out our services online at CertifiedDieselLLC.com.
Steve and Jerry here from the world-famous Beacon Drive-In in Spartanburg. The Beacon has served over 300 menu selections of burgers, barbecue, chicken, fish, and more for over 70 years. Jerry, what's been the most popular?
Chili cheese, I ain't plantain. I need flounder. Cheeseburger like a burger, make it crust. Give me a bacon whip, no trim.
Had a feeling you'd say that. Join Steve
and Jerry
at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In. John B. White Senior Boulevard in Spartanburg.
Hey, Plante!
Premier portable buildings and trailers are right in your backyard. Looking to gain space in your home, a shed is a great way to make room. And if you need to transport your gear, we have a trailer to meet your needs. With two locations to serve you, Sheds of Spartanburg and Sheds of Welford. Visit shedsofspartanburg.com or shedsofwelford.com, where you can view our entire inventory of sheds and trailers. Call today, 864-652-1660, or visit 1470 Boiling Springs Road, Spartanburg, or 321 Spartanburg Highway, Welford today.
A scholarship doesn't just pay for school.
When I first started out, I'd be around a baseball field all day, just watching the guys' feet, like how they're moving, how they're breaking out of the clay.
turf grass management is not just cutting grass. There's so much more to it.
It turns passion into purpose.
The South Carolina Education Lottery definitely allowed me to find myself again, to get an education, eventually starting my organization. I got legs.
Adam and Greg are two of over 750,000 Life Scholars giving back for a better South Carolina. Visit seeducationlottery.com/betteryou.
With fall comes fall weddings. Grooms, don't let the big day get away from you without a visit to Roosters to look your best. Right now, Roosters is offering a groomsman party pack for grooms with a party of three or more. Grooms get a 50% discount on a gentleman's choice haircut and shave package and 10% off all in-stock products for the entire wedding party. What better time to look and feel your best on your special day? Call Roosters and secure your appointment time today. 864-884-892. Serving the Greenville area for 12 years.
Hey Clemson family, I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant coach and proud member of two national championship teams. Success on the football field takes teamwork, vision, and a great game plan. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott and Associates. From Tigertown to Lake Kiwi, we're your championship team, here to help you buy, sell, or build. When it's time to make your next move, trust the winning team, Newton Scott and Associates. Real estate, the Clemson way. Visit us at newtonscottsc.com.
Tired of all the fake news in the sports world?
He read an article.
I read it too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't believe everything you hear on the radio.
That's where we come in, to give you the truth in sports. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Final segment of an abbreviated program on a Tuesday with Vax and Childress and John Height. If you'd like to beat the buzzer, 654-ROAR is the number, and you can check in on the phone lines or the Adams Cotterfield text line. All right, I want to get to this text real quick to start breathing some Clemson conversation to lead up to Sweeney. Texter says, "What's your opinion? Am I the only person that thinks Clemson's season is not over? With the carnage in college football this year, we can build on the momentum, finish last year like we did at 9-3, and there's a path to Charlotte if there's a path to a playoff spot if we finish strong, even without an ACC title berth." I'll say a couple things. Number one, I don't think there's a path to the playoff that does not include going to the ACC championship game with three losses as an ACC team on your schedule, but I do think that there is a path to the ACC championship game. The issue I have with, number one, projecting that far out, and number two, entertaining the conversation, number one, Clemson has one win over a P4 opponent, and it's arguably the worst team in all of P4. Number two, you don't control that, and that's out of your control, and you don't control your own destiny at this juncture, so you're going to need a lot of help. Are you wrong? No, you're not wrong. There could be a path. I've been in the weeds doing some math internally, looking at tiebreakers. Like, I'm in the same boat as you, hoping that we get to a point in time in November, December, where these conversations are being had about, hey, we need blank to beat Georgia Tech this weekend, or we need blank to beat Miami this weekend, and we can get in. I hope we get to that point. With what we've seen through five games, I can't do anything other than take it one game at a time, and I can't take any of these games for wins. Like, Clemson's got to go out there and earn my trust back because it's been fractured to start the season. I really thought this was going to be a national championship contending football team with the talent level in place, and it hasn't worked out that way thus far. So are you wrong, Texter 279? No, absolutely not. There is a path there. If Clemson were to hypothetically win out and get to 9-4 and get some major help across the league, but right now I'm in the one game at a time mentality, John, and it's hard to have anything else right now with these Tigers.
No, absolutely. Well, I mean, where we were sitting a week ago, I'm glad that we can field the question. Right, that you put on such a performance last Saturday, regardless of the opponent, that we're fielding that type of a question. I love that, and that's how a fan's supposed to feel, in my opinion. A lot of the times, like, hey, you know, it hasn't gone our way so far, but I still believe. Like, I love that, but I agree with your sentiment of, I don't want to try to lay out that case today. I think that'd be fairly disingenuous, but I do think that. There, you are not wrong, Texter, and you could look up in a month and be like, okay, now let's really start doing the math.
You know what's really going to frustrate me to the end of earth if we get there? if Wake Forest not beating Georgia Tech ends up costing Clemson a playoff spot, I'm going to be a little bit pissed. I'm not going to lie. I don't think that's going to happen. But that'll be the game that pops into mind if we get to the tiebreaker and don't
get
it.
Those are your two teams. It would be your fault.
Gosh almighty, man. That one was a heartbreaker. I was rooting for the Demon Deacs in that one. But yeah, my advice to you at home, if you're pipe dreaming still like Texter 279 is, and 279, you're not alone because I've been looking at it too and I've been doing the math. I'm right there with you, brother. We all want it to happen. But take it one game at a time and root for carnage across the league. That would be my advice to you is root against Duke, root against Georgia Tech, root against Virginia, root against all these undefeated teams and pray for chaos and pray for a break. That's really the only thing that I can say at that point. Texter gets in and says, yeah, I mean, 684, like I get it. There's obviously that's kind of what we just
said.
Well,
I mean, come on, man. Yeah. It says this guy's whole entire day is sitting here trying to troll us.
That is true.
So I mean I respect him.
I respect him for that.
I would love to have the amount of free time that this person has.
Amen.
My goodness gracious. Good on you.
Amen to that. I'm already getting in more and more sleep debt as we start to add more and more sports on the calendar. Let's get Scott in Greenville in here on the phone line, 654 Roar. Scott, always a pleasure. Hope you've been well, brother.
Yes, sir. How are you today, man?
Doing well. Excited for this Sweeney press conference.
How long has it been since Clemson and my Dallas Cowboys won on the same weekend?
Oh my gosh! It's
been
a while.
Weekend for me. Yes. So I had a fantastic weekend. The Yankees and the Phillies are both on the brink of elimination. I mean, it's just like it can't get any better, you know. So. As far as are we a playoff team, I am worried about BC. I'm concentrating on BC.
Yes.
As a fan, I'm not looking past nobody. I don't care what's happening in November. I'm worried about what happens on October the 11th or whatever date it is. At BC at night, you know, I don't know. We got to come out and punch them in the mouth. And just – I felt like this last Saturday we took the dogs off too early. Yes,
yeah.
We need some players to get some reps, but I wanted to see them in there for a full three quarters and see what they could do, you know, a little bit more just because we are where we are. So not going to put the cart before the horse. We won big time. That don't mean that we need to start doing any math for the playoffs. Screw all that. Just take care of BC, take care of SMU, take care of what's in front of you, and the rest of it will play out. I'm not listening to the press conference. I'm tired of the talking. I want them to do it, and then when they start doing it, I'll pull the shirts back out of the closet. I'll start, you know, broadcasting to the world how good we are. You know, there's a saying that a coach said at one time, when you're good, you tell everybody. When you're great, everybody tells you, okay? So quit telling me how good your players are. Quit telling me how good the backups are. Go prove it and let me get on the radio and brag about how great we are. That's
hey,
what I want to hear. Yeah.
Scott, before we let you go, I have to let you know, doing some very quick research, that the last time that you had a weekend as good as you did last weekend was a year ago, October 5th through 7th of 2024, where Clemson beat Florida State, and then your Dallas Cowboys beat my Pittsburgh Steelers 20-17.
That's probably the best weekend of the year last year.
I think it was, yeah. Well, for you, yeah, specifically, yeah.
Maybe we just need to rename this the Week of Scott. This is the Week of Scott from here on out is the Week of October 5th.
The Week of October 5th. There you go. There you go. So my dad is smiling from heaven as my Tigers took care of business, my Cowboys won, and life is good. So enjoying the show, guys. Y'all take care. We'll see you tomorrow.
We appreciate you, Scott. Thank you so much for that. 654 Roar is the number. And we never talked about the Cowboys-Jets game because it was a molly-whopping of the New York Jets. I got to give credit where it's due. I said this a little bit earlier in the season as well. I think the most underrated player in the NFL right now is Dak Prescott. And I'm an Eagles fan. I also call it how I see it, and I'm a straight shooter. I think Dak's a top 8 quarterback in this league. I think he has been for a while. Is he a playoff dropper? Yes. That much has been pretty undeniable at this stage in his career. They've got 3 backup O-linemen right now and no CD Lamb. In his last 2 games, he has thrown for 7 touchdowns and no interceptions with a ridiculous completion percentage. And he's having another really good season right now with another new play caller and another new scheme in the fray. Dak Prescott's a really, really darn good football player, man.
I think what that game told me is, yes, we've had our jokes about number one overall pick New Orleans Saints and number one overall pick Miami Dolphins and Cleveland Browns. Boy, the New York Jets really have something to say about all that, don't they?
Yeah, Will Van Vliet won the war on Justin Fields.
Yes, he did.
That's not a good player right now.
No, he's not. No, he is not.
In all fairness to Fields, too, it's not like the roster doesn't stink around him like that. That team just stinks.
I mean, there's a lot of individual pieces, but what a surprise. The New York Jets are not a team.
Nope, they're not. A bright spot, I guess, would be their second-round pick, and Mason Taylor's getting a little bit better every week at tight end. I think that could be a nice piece going forward for them. The wide receiver room outside of Garrett Wilson is just atrocious. Breece Hall's a little bit banged up. Braylon Allen looks like he's going to be missing an extended amount of time. To be honest, I never even saw an injury update on him because I'm not taking free time out of my week to hunt the injury report on the New York Jets. Win a game, and then maybe I'll look at the injury report. That would be my advice to the folks in New York. But in all seriousness, this is a really bad football team that has a really good chance of picking number one overall.
I'll be interested to see what they do with the selection. With just about 5 minutes to go to the top of the hour, what do you want to hear from Coach Sweeney today in the press conference? What are you looking forward to being discussed, being covered? Obviously, you know you're going to hear the talk about Dylan Lonergan and the passing attack for Boston College. He talked about last night in Tiger Hour some of the size that the defensive line has. I do agree with him there. They're not the biggest athletes, the best athletes in the world, but they are some big people. And our offensive line is certainly going to have to bring their A game to move them from point A to point B.
Yeah. I'm interested to hear Dabo say the word Turbo because that's the running back's name, and I think that's awesome. So I'd love for Turbo Richard to get a shout out just because I think Dabo would probably make a funny comment about that, knowing Dabo.
That's fair.
He's probably going to have a follow up saying, "Man, this kid can fly. And this kid can fly. He can get off the football. He can hit the gap and he can hit the hole. He's a good physical runner." That's my Dabo impression for the day. So I hope you enjoyed that at home. But in all seriousness, I'm excited to hear him break down the X's and O's of what Boston College's defense is going to present, because offensively, I've watched a lot more of BC's offensive film than I have their defensive film. I want to see what those big boys up front look like on the defensive line. Are they able to get push against Clemson's offensive line that struggled throughout the course of the season, as you alluded to? What are we going to do about the linebackers? What does the linebacker play look like? How important is eye discipline in this matchup? Is Clemson going to plan to utilize motion more frequently on offense, which we have seen a little bit more and more incorporated as the season has progressed? About Cade Klubnik, like, what's the best way to attack this defense? Are you going to prioritize getting the run game going more this week because you struggled to run the football and establish that last week? I think there's a lot of really good talking points in this upcoming presser for Dabo Sweeney, and I'm excited to play Boston College. Like, I've taken that road trip what feels like a billion times this point between football and
women's
basketball.
It's one I've always wanted to take. I've never been to Boston, never been to this game.
Dude,
or this
really?
Trip. I've never been, no.
You got to do this at least one time, as long as Clemson's still in the ACC. Chestnut Hill is beautiful. Boston is beautiful. Arguably, like, that's top three on the road trip hierarchy for me in the ACC is Boston College. I know it doesn't have the glitz and the glamour necessarily of some of your like premier programs. The city of Boston is freaking awesome. The city of Chestnut Hill is beautiful. It's like a nice little pocket there. And it's always been freezing cold, which I don't really mind when we've gone. So I've enjoyed that as well. Facilities are admittedly not great, but like it's got like a niche little field. It feels like a Big East school, man, if you want me to be honest with you. It feels like a Big East school, but it's cool. It's got a nice northern vibe to it, so I really like Boston College. I think it's a cool little place, so you'll have to get on that while we're still in the ACC.
One of these days, I will make the trip.
Texter gets in and says, Dabo likely mentions Richard being from Northwestern High School in Rock Hill, too. Yes, he probably will. Mike in Western Pennsylvania gets in and says, boys, Pitt is not a good team. They killed Boston College, beat them. Fully agree. This needs to be a win, and it needs to be a win by 20-plus in dominant fashion, just like you had last weekend. I think Boston College is better than North Carolina. But I think they present more challenges, especially offensively with that passing attack. This needs to be another confidence-boosting win for the Tigers.
Another confidence-boosting win, but do you think it needs to be like it was? It does need to be like North Carolina, where you shut the door at the end of the first quarter, right? Like, you can play the blowout into, like, take a little bit longer, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, like, this has been
they're going to get theirs more so than North Carolina have got theirs in this game.
The Pitt game was not the standard for this Boston College team. We referenced the fact that they led the whole game against Cal. They lost by 4. They led majority of the game on the road at Michigan State. They lost by 2 in double overtime. And then they went out to the West Coast and they fumbled on the 1 and gave up a defensive touchdown to Stanford in a weird game. Obviously, that's a garbage football team, and I'm not making excuses for BC, garbage being Stanford. But this has been a team that's been competitive in every loss they played in, except for that Pitt game. So I do get where Coach Sweeney was kind of gearing his commentary towards last night on Tiger calls. And I don't necessarily disagree with them. They get one stop against California, they win the game. They get one stop in overtime on Michigan State, they win the game.
He said they'd be 4-1, not 5-0. I don't think he's putting the Pitt game remotely in doubt if they were just a couple plays away on that one.
Yes. Texter,
more than a couple.
Texter gets in and says, BC Stadium is terrible, piped in crowd noise. That's 0-9-2. Yeah, alumni stadium up in Chestnut Hill. It's not the best, to be completely honest. It's got a cool niche vibe. I've gone for the bandana game, so I think I'm biased towards Boston College as a byproduct of that, because I got like the peak environment, right, with the red bandana game. I've never been to a BC game that's not the bandana game, to
that's,
be honest
okay,
with you.
Okay, that's fair, because I do think that is obviously probably their one.
Yeah.
They're one a year. That if I was going to go to one, that would be the one I'd want to go to. I'd want to see them put on their best effort.
For sure. Texter says, facts, and I want to score more than 3 in the second half of this game. Yeah, I do too. I 100% want to as well. And another texter says they are a picky school. Yeah, that's what I was kind of getting at with them in Virginia Tech. All right, we're going to take our final break of the program. We might be back for a little mini segment, depending on how Coach Sweeney decides to utilize his time in the press conference today. But stick with us right here on The Roar. Head football coach for the Clemson Tigers and Dabo Sweeney is going to be recapping the North Carolina win from this past weekend, previewing the trip up to Chestnut Hill as the Tigers get slated for a clash with the Boston College Eagles.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartan.